addition to giving us his insights, the commissioner has agreed to present to the first winner of a new medal that we've established in the Cambridge Police Executive Program, named after the founder of the Metropolitan Police, Sir Robert Peel. This award has been created to recognize and encourage the most important method as the basis of evidence-based policing. Since the Police Foundation in Washington published the first document on evidence-based policing in 1998, it's been clear that the core knowledge for evidence-based policing as an evidence-based medicine is the very controversial, the very often opposed method of random assignment of two different ways of policing to offenders, to victims, to hotspots, or other units of analysis. And the core idea here has been that without that kind of comparison, we really can't find out what works, or at least how two things compare. Many arguments have been raised against doing this. Many political issues have arisen. But I think what we are able to do tonight is to start a process of recognizing police leaders who can stand up for the advancement of knowledge, for the service of protecting victims and reducing crime with the application of knowledge, against all of the arguments for not gaining knowledge that have been raised against the randomized control method. Tonight, we have the opportunity to present this medal to the first police chief who went to a city council and said, "We don't know what the effect of arrest is. We need to randomly assign it. And we're going to do it in the very safe and uncontroversial area of domestic violence." And so in 1980, as a brand new police chief in Minneapolis, our winner tonight went to the city council and obtained unanimous approval for arresting people by lottery in order to find out whether arrest or non-arrest was a better way of dealing with this problem. It led to five other experiments repeating the same method and greatly advancing, indeed complicating, the knowledge that we have. But he didn't stop there. After all, having grown up in Spain during the Civil War and watching people executed in the square of the village where he grew up, he was used to high stakes and high risks. And when he migrated to New York City at the age of 9 and grew up in Brooklyn to become a New York City police officer and later assistant chief of the New York City Police Department in charge of the Bronx at a time when it was one of the most violent places in the United States, he achieved a strong reputation for speaking his mind and for doing what he thinks is right in the circumstances. A reputation that led the mayor of Minneapolis to hire him in a national search where he turned Minneapolis and its police department into an experimental crime laboratory. That's what the Minneapolis Star and Tribune said at the end of his 9 years, in which he not only pioneered the use of random assignment for arrest, but he also led the research process to discover that only 3% of the addresses in that city produced over half of all the crime, to the research that identified 110 high-crime hotspots that had been repeatedly high-crime locations over several years, in which David Weisberg and I had the opportunity to see the city council again approve stripping low-crime areas of any patrol at all, because there wasn't any patrol needed where there was no crime occurring, and where the city council agreed it would be better to test, at least, the concentrations of police in high crime hotspots, completing an experiment with his support that has now been subject to multiple replications and that we'll hear about tomorrow with a new experiment from Dallas conducted by David Weisberg, a new experiment on the London Tube conducted by British Transport Police with Dr. Brock Ariel. And what we have in the legacy of the Minneapolis Police Crime Lab is not just domestic violence and hotspots. We also had a random assignment test of Neighborhood Watch. We had a random assignment test of problem-oriented policing at repeat call locations, at the top 500 repeat call locations in the city. I don't think anybody in the history of policing has led to success the completion of so many randomized controlled trials. Although I must say that there is some fierce competition coming up in this country right now, and we'll hear more about that tomorrow. But the pioneer, the person who made it happen, the man who sold not only the politicians but also the public on the wisdom of using the random assignment method to advance police knowledge, is someone I'd like to ask Commissioner Hogan Howe, himself a strong advocate of evidence-based policing, to present with a silver medal that we have had cast in the image of Sir Robert Peel, and on the back, the name of the winner of the Sir Robert Peel Medal for Evidence-Based Policing, Cambridge University Police Executive Program, presented to Anthony Viboza on the 9th of July, 2012. Commissioner, if you would allow me to call forward Chief Boza, so that you may present him with the medal, knowing that the law faculty has conveniently supplied video coverage of all of the things that our previous speakers didn't want anybody to know they said, but which we will allow to be edited.
As a good existentialist, I've learned never overlook an opportunity to express your views, especially if they're contrary to everybody else's thinking. I know we are under a tough schedule, and Shakespeare, a wonderful American writer, reminded us that brevity is the salt of wit. I first met Larry Sherman in 1971 and saw him grow into America's foremost criminologist. And I think I speak with some knowledge, having spent 58 years examining the police, their internal practices, their policies, their progress and lack of it. Larry Sherman has been a genius, and we are about to lose him, and I think it is a tragedy for American policing, but it is the United Kingdom's gain as he switches citizenships. I wish him well, but I'm sorry to see him go. It's about, I accept the award with as much humility as as an arrogant son of a bitch can manage. I know I've made an enormous number of discoveries. I ran very aggressive police agencies. We worked within the Constitution, but just barely. Very aggressive stuff, and what the discoveries I made, where we're using decoys, stakeouts, stings, infiltration, all kinds of methods, wiretapping, very aggressive, I discovered that none of it worked. And that's what I'm really accepting this reward, for all the things I've discovered that didn't work. As a consequence of which I kept getting promoted, which was no one's fault but my own. We see in as I was walking over here today, I was thinking of Galileo. You know, the people around Galileo were all decent, honorable people who had a tough commute and needed to put money or food on the table. And the fact that they wanted to barbecue him because he kept uttering subversive ideas like the notion that the earth goes around the sun. You can't blame them. They're all decent folks. But these are the enemies of progress. That's the problem. The problem is not that there are villains out there or dark spirits. It's that they're enemies of progress. And they have a vested interest in the status quo, and they resist progress. I have observed American policing, as I said, 58 years intimately. I'm an ardent student of it. I love it. I love policing. I'm an ardent critic of it, but I love it. And I believe strongly in the profession, but it desperately needs reformation. Mao Zedong ruled China and as an ideologue. Marxist-Leninist, great leap forward, or a devout communist, and destroyed the nation. Succeeded, he was the thesis, succeeded by Deng Xiaoping, the ultimate pragmatist. What works? Where's the evidence? Can we send 10,000 people to Harvard? Forget about the nobility of the peasant. Does he, can he read and write, and does he have any skills or talent? So the reality is that that we require evidence of success. We require experimentation and torture, and that always means taking on elements that are going to be very resistant. At this moment, America faces a terrific intellectual crisis in policing because, mirabile dictu, crime is declining dramatically, and everybody's stepping forward to claim credit for it. And in New York, for example, New York City, we used to have over 2,000 murders a year. Population has not changed. We now have about 500. We are now looking at levels of violence in New York and in the United States, and it doesn't matter whether the chief is an alcoholic, a psycho, a genius, doesn't matter. Crime is plummeting because of social and economic forces we only partially understand and must begin to master. And what does that require? What we are here to do, a tortured research, reflection, humility, that knowing what Deng Xiaoping knew, the one great thing he knew, let's try what works. Let's look for the evidence. And he elevated the nation into the second economy in the planet, and God knows where it may wind up. What works? Where's the evidence? And what Sherman did in Minneapolis changed America and the way we treat batterers. Men were having a wonderful time beating up women in America for a very long time until Sherman came along. Now they get arrested, and the battering has become an issue, a civil rights issue, and it has diminished. So the reality is that more than skills or training or even education, we need what Socrates taught us. Torture, search, questioning. Why does it work? Does it work? Why doesn't it work? So thank you, Larry Sherman. Thank you, Commissioner. Thank all of you for having given me this great honor. I will use it as profitably as I can, although I'm so old, it's hard to imagine using anything profitably anymore. Have a great day.